Now, friends, we come to the second chapter of the book of Proverbs, and I trust by now that you understand that the book of Proverbs, it's not a haphazard book at all. It tells a story, and it's a connected story. We have the challenge given to a young man that he be a wise young man. He'll hear. He'll increase his learning. And that he is to start out in the home to learn from his father and his mother. And that the very basic lesson, in fact, it will be the one he gets in kindergarten. And then when he gets his Ph.D. degree, why, it'll be good for him there. And that is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, the way we find out about the Lord is in His Word. Now, there are a great many people are going to say that, after all, you have to be a very intelligent person. You must have a very high IQ in order to understand the Word of God. Well, friends, nothing is farther from the truth than that. God does not say that that's the thing that is essential at all. But he does make it clear now in the second chapter, as this young man starts out, that if he is to know the will and word of God, it's going to mean that he'll have to study. And therefore, he just can't dilly-dally, and he can't pick daisies along the highway of life. He must apply his heart unto wisdom. And therefore, he must study the Word of God. Now, I want you to notice what he says here at the very beginning, how again and again and again he comes at this, speaking to this young man. Now, this is very important to see. He says here, verse 1, my son. And we have said that this is advice given to a young man. Starts out a little boy in the home. He grows up now, and he's out facing life, and he's given this advice by some wise person along the way. Apparently, this was maybe his first lesson in school. I don't think he'd learn it today, but this is a lesson you could learn in school. Here it is, my son, if thou wilt receive my sayings. Now, notice, the sayings of God are to be received. Now, notice the next. And lay up my commandments with thee. Now, that word lay up actually means hidden. Hide my commandments with thee. Lay them up. Store them up. Put them where you put your valuables. I know a man that goes to his safety deposit box. They tell me regularly, that is once a week, just to count what he's got there. He loves to go over his wealth. He stored up bonds there, I guess, and stock, and he just likes to go and look it over. And I know a lady that she has quite a bit of jewelry, and she likes to take it out, and I think more than once a week, and look at it. She keeps it stored up. Now, the Word of God is to be laid up, or stored up, or hidden away like this. Lay up my commandments with thee. Now, verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Listen, keep your ear open, and apply thy heart to understanding. Now, it's not something to go into the head, but it's through the ear gate, but it's to get down into the heart. And when you get to the heart of the matter, in the Word of God, it brings understanding. Now, notice here, he's still not through with this injunction, this urging, this challenge. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, notice this. Peter puts it like this, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Have you ever seen a little baby when mama is fixing the bottle, a little fella's lying on his back, and he's wiggling everything he's got. Hands are going, and believe me, the mouth is going, the feet are going. I tell you, he desires the milk bottle. And the child of God should be that way, as far as the Word of God is concerned. That is the thing that I've noted about this present spiritual movement that is abroad today. Where you see it, there is a renewed interest in the Word of God. I notice many young people today bringing notebooks, Bibles, and they take down everything. I've been speaking around over the country in many places, and you can always tell when there's a real moving of the Spirit of God. It is evidenced in this desire for the Word of God. If thou criest after knowledge, the knowledge is what? The fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of it. And liftest up thy voice for understanding. Now, if you want to have a protest movement today in college, and I frankly would like to see this kind of a protest movement carried on this fall in college. I'd like these placards that they carry, I'd like for them to read, "We want to be taught this semester. We want the professors to teach us something for a change." I tell you, I think that would be good. And I think it'd be nice if the professors would carry a banner and say, "We want to teach this semester," and not be giving out propaganda. We'd like to really get down to fundamentals and to learn something. And notice what he says here. You lift up your voice for understanding. And notice this. If thou seekest her as silver. Out here in the desert in California, there are quite a few silver mines. They tell stories about how in the early days, men came all the way across the country. Many of them starved to death up around Death Valley, and the reason they call it Death Valley was silver found up in that valley, in that area, and then many a man died trying to get to it. And then when they got there, they made all kinds of sacrifices. Thou seekest her as silver. Now, that's the way we should go after knowledge, knowledge of the Word of God, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, just like you're out mining, looking for something valuable. Then shalt thou understand the fear of Jehovah and find the knowledge of God. Now, let me come back and look at this for a moment. We're talking now about something that is not devotional reading. Now, many of you know that I do not go along for devotional reading because I know folk and families that have been at this for years and they're as ignorant of the Bible as a goat grazing grass on the hillside. Why? Because that's not the way you learn the Word of God. The way you learn the Word of God is not to get in some pious frame of mind, read very piously a few verses of Scripture. This is the way you get at it. You lay it up. You incline your ear. You apply your heart. You cry after it. You lift up your voice. You seek it as silver. You search it like it's hidden treasure. Then when you start like that, you're going to learn something. You're going to understand what the fear of Jehovah is. And you're going to find out the knowledge of God. I get a little provoked. I used to teach Bible in the institute when we had an institute here in Southern California. And I had several hundred students in there. It's always amusing to me. Some very pious ones. The day before exam, they really were pious. Then on the morning of the exam, they would come up and say, "Dr. McGee, we're not prepared to take the exam today. We had a prayer meeting last night." And I would always ask them, "What'd you pray about?" Well, they prayed for China or for Africa or some far-off place. I said, "You know, for you, the most important thing in the world last night was not to pray." Oh, they looked at me in amazement. "You mean not to pray?" I said, "Right. There's a time to study." And I gave them always this second chapter of Proverbs. I says, "There's nothing in there about praying, but there's a whole lot about digging it out, about searching for it, about crying for it, all of that, to learn the Word of God." And I said, "That's why you are here, is to learn the Word of God." And I said, "You get back there and take that examination. You're not going to give me that kind of an excuse." And you know, they always failed. They never passed it like that. And then there were others that thought that you did this in a very pious way. think they'd been brought up on devotional reading, and they would, as it were, read a few verses and then put the Bible under their pillow. And I used to tell them, you can't learn the kings of Israel and Judah by sticking your Bible under your pillow and expecting it during the night that that knowledge will come up through the duck feathers into your brain. You don't get it that way. I remember a fellow in class was talking about a pretty hard test that we had coming up in seminary, and it was on theology, and it was on a certain book, and it was a pretty boring book. As far as I'm concerned, it certainly wasn't like a mystery story, and one of the boys was complaining. He says, Doctor, this is the driest book I've ever read. And the professor said, well, then dampen it with a little sweat of your brow. That will liven it up. And that is the thing that God says, that there's no hocus-pocus way of learning the Word of God. There's no pious way of learning it. There is no substitute for just digging it out. And you really don't have to have an IQ. Why? Notice what he says in verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. If you want wisdom, you go ask him. You remember, I have not seen, ear heard. It hasn't entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love. But what has happened? But they are revealed to us. How? By the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit today is here to be our teacher. That to me was the most wonderful thing I came in contact with as a young Christian. That the Spirit of God would open these things. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, the deep things of God. And you know, that's the reason that today there are some folk that they don't have a PhD or a THD. They're not doctor. Their theology hasn't been doctored at all. But they have a knowledge of the Word of God that others do not have. I told a little story about a little country woman way up in Denison, Texas. And I'll not tell that one again, but I've got several because I've come across these people in my ministry. When I first went to Nashville, Tennessee, I tried to get interest in a Bible conference, and we did get quite a bit of interest. And then there was a morning program that they turned over to the ministers. Well, none of these other ministers wanted it because you had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to conduct it. I was single then, and I have always waked up early. I worked on a newspaper when I was in college, so I'd wake up early, and I agreed to take it. I wanted to take it. And I want to be very frank with you. I've tried to teach the Word of God, but nobody seemed to be interested in it except one person. You know who it was? It was a black lady that used to pass my church every morning, and I would be out sometimes at the bulletin board changing the subject, and she'd come by on the way to work, and she'd say, Mr. McGee, I heard you this morning, and it always made me feel good to know somebody was listening, and she said, you know what you said, and then we'd discuss it, and she had a real spiritual discernment. Now, she told me that she only finished grade school. But I'm here to tell you that that wonderful black Christian knew more theology than the average Christian in any church in that city in that day that I came in contact with. She really knew how to discuss the Word of God. And you know how she learned it? The Lord giveth wisdom. And she had a Bible. She showed it to me one day. And I've never seen a Bible that was worn as much as that Bible was. She used it. She read it. She understood it. Why? She's willing for the Spirit of God to teach her. Now, we're living in a day when there's not this interest. I'm amazed that there's many people want to study the Bible with us. I've just been thrilled by it because I was rather pessimistic. I had come to the conclusion there weren't really many people that really wanted to study the Word of God. Now, even Dr. Ironside in his day noted that, and here's a statement he made at that time, many years ago. He says it's to be feared that even among those who hold and value much precious truth, diligent Bible study is on the wane. I'm afraid that is true. And that's the reason we invite you to send in for notes and outlines, because we believe God wants to teach us today. And He's teaching a great many folk, and that's one of the greatest thrills of my ministry, and very frankly, He's teaching me too. Oh, how wonderful it is. And I feel like I'm still in the primer. Now, notice this again, verse 6, for Jehovah giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now, where do you hear Him speaking? In His Word. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. One of the reasons that so many Christians are out in the fog and they're in the darkness, and they wonder where to turn. My friend, it's obvious what the problem is. They're so far from the Word of God. Here's where He's speaking. This is the foghorn right here, the Word of God. And He preserveth the way of His saints. That's what He'll do. And He just doesn't do it haphazardly. You'll have to come to the Word of God. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Now today, it's a sad day to see so many men in public office that are guiding the destiny of nations that are not being guided by the Lord today, and He wants to guide them. Oh, if they'd only go to Him for wisdom, He wants to guide them. Where there is a single eye and a true heart that is characterized by a real deep-down desire to live in the power of the truth revealed here in the Word of God to the soul of man, may I say that God at that time, He'll be a buckler. He'll be a defense for His own, keeping them safely as they tread the paths of judgment, thus preserving their way. Oh, my friend, I hear a great many people, every now and then, somebody writes me a letter and say, I see that you hold the truth. Well, wait a minute. Now, I like that. Don't misunderstand. That's fine. But that's not the important thing. I want the truth to hold me. That's the important thing, that the truth hold us. You see, there's a big difference between those. We are told that in the last days there'd be vain talkers and deceivers. I don't want to be one of those. I hope I'm not. I do not want to use great swelling words. I don't want to boast of a great knowledge of prophecy and dispensational teaching and ecclesiastical truth and philosophy and psychology. Oh, my friend, there's too much of that around today. May I say to you, we need to have this kind of an attitude. Notice now verse 10 here, when wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. You won't be taken in so easy, friends. You stay close to the Word of God. Verse 13, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the evil one, whose ways are crooked and perverse in their ways. That's been my prayer from the very beginning in my ministry. Oh, God, don't let me be taken in by evil men. They're around us today. And you're going to find in this book here that the child of God has two enemies. And the two enemies, one's the evil man and the other's the strange woman. There were two warnings given to the young man as he started out in life. One was of the evil man, and the danger of associating with him and of walking with him. That's always a problem for a young man. I ran away when, I say ran away, my father died. Nobody was going to hinder me. But when I was about 16 years old, I went to Detroit, Michigan, to work for the automobile industry. I didn't work for Henry Ford because, well, a Ford car didn't impress me too much. I went over and worked for Cadillac. And you probably have wondered why the Cadillac automobile is considered such a fine car. Well, it's because I worked there for a few months. Well, I got in with the wrong crowd, I can assure you. Bootleg days go over every Saturday night to Windsor, Canada. And I never shall forget that as a boy. I was introduced to a new world. I was with evil men. And thank God they made me homesick. And as a teenage boy, I finally, after a few weeks of that, and under conviction every minute of the day and night, I went home. And there's where a minister explained to me how you could have peace with God being justified by faith. And I never shall forget that. The evil man, the young man should beware of him. And then there's someone else, the strange woman. Now, the better translation would be stranger woman. Verse 16, it says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now, who is the strange woman? Well, in Israel, God made a law that no Israelite woman was to play the prostitute. And I'm confident when anyone did that, that they were automatically put outside of the bounds of Israel. They were just as bad as a publican in later years, and they were put outside and classed with sinners. But the stranger was the Gentile that came in. She recognized that there'd be a place to ply her trade, and the prostitutes came in, and they were generally foreigners. They were the strangers that came in. Now, the young man is warned about her, and he's told here what might happen to him. It says, none that go under her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. They'll lose their health. I had a very fine elder in a church back east. He told me that the thing that almost wrecked his life, he says, just one escapade. He said, I went out on the town one night with the boys. And he says, that one night I picked up a venereal disease. And he said, I was years. That was back in the old days, getting rid of it. And as a result, he says, it almost wrecked my life. God warns against that. And right now, in our contemporary culture, in which we're living today, in this new morality, which is old immorality, we find that venereal diseases are actually in epidemic situation here in Southern California, so we're told. And I remember that as a young man, again, running around with a crowd of fellas, and we were in a certain organization where the leader of it was a very fine doctor. And I never shall forget, he saw that there were several of us doing a great deal of running around, and he called us in and said he just wanted to have a friendly talk with us. Well, he scared the daylights out of me, but somebody says, oh, I don't think we ought to frighten these young people today. May I say to you, I thank God that he scared me. Oh, I was scared and frightened at the things that he told us. And may I say that that's exactly what the writer here to the Proverbs is doing. The evil man and the evil woman, let's say, but she's called a stranger here.